to the book of Proverbs. We are in Proverbs. And how many of you have recognized as we go through it, there's so much practical application. I think our big challenge is we don't always believe that what it says would apply to us. We always come up quickly with a name popping up in my mind. It's for him, for her, or whatever. But this morning we're going to look at it from a very interesting standpoint. It's how does our brain function? So how many of you are ready for a master's class in neurology? Okay, so I bring it down to a basic understanding. How about that? But I had a lot of fun studying that subject. Proverbs 12, 25. If you have your Bible with you, you're going to open it up and you're going to mark them. They are so important, all of those. I'm going to have four of those. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. What brings our heart down? Why are we such specialists in how to get anxious? But a good word makes him glad. A good word is like medicine to a heart filled with anxiety, isn't it? Proverbs 14, 13, and 14. Even in laughter, the heart may ache, and the end of joy may be grief. The backsliding heart will be filled with the fruit of his ways, and the good man will be filled with the fruit of his ways. How many of you like to say, I don't like to pay the price of being a backslider? It's way too hard, because there's a fruit being produced. The good man will be filled with the fruit of the goodness. Proverbs 16, 23 to 25. The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Incredibly powerful words. If you look just at the last proverb we just read together, you recognize that neutrality, I don't want to be involved in the whole battle between good and evil, is capitulation. You already gave in. It's a way for the heart of humanity. It's about winning the hearts of mankind. That's why God is in this battle, winning you my heart. Here it says we can make choices and having certain results. If you drop down to Proverbs 18, verse 12, before destruction, a man's heart is hardy, but humility comes before honor. The question, obviously, I chose this is, what do all these proverbs have in common? There's just a selection. There are many others. But what do they all have in common? They all describe a troubled heart. All of them. Characterized by discontentment, insecurity, instability, doubt, unrest, and uncertainty. These are all characteristics of a troubled heart. And we obviously this morning, we're sitting here nice and quietly in a beautiful room, surrounded by friends. We don't have to fear anything. Until in the split second, something changes. And then, where is our heart? What's going on? How many of you have ever been discontent? How many of you have insecurity, instability, we're not always perfectly stable. What about doubts? Do doubts arise every so often? What about unrest? We're just not resting. We're restless. What about uncertainty? We can all to these things say, been there, done that, all of us. And I think this is so important because in other words, A troubled heart is somewhere involved in these kind of activities. Why? Because the heart lacks the peace which Jesus has promised. And it struggles to find absolute assurance. I like the old hymn, we probably should sing it soon. Blessed assurance. Not just words, which we sing in a song, but powerful words. Blessed assurance. Why? Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. It's so powerful when you think about it. Because we don't have that blessed assurance, especially when we do something we know we should never have done. Kind of the assurance goes into a foggy area. Okay? And then obviously the question is, what would be the ultimate cure? The rescue that takes place, which we need. How many of you know we need to be rescued every so often? I'm talking spiritually. That rescue can only come from a wise counselor. With emphasis on wise. Rescue can only come to somebody who knows what we need. And how many of you know? There are many people who know what we need. Come on. There's always. How long have you been married? The spouse always knows the best what we need. There's a remedy for everything. It's just not rescuing. It's just pinpointing. That's you. You did that. It's a little bit the troubled heart, isn't it? So we're looking for a remedy. Let's go to the Gospel of John chapter 14 before we dive into the big, deep stuff. Let not your hearts be troubled. Do you think that's a request or is that a command? It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Let not your heart be troubled. What's the remedy? Believe in God. That's the remedy. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? How many of you would have to say just this sentence will give you absolute assurance that there is a place of eternity in the Father's and Jesus' presence? Which would be a remedy to the troubled heart. Then Jesus goes on to say, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Eternally promised future. And you know the way to where I'm going. And here comes my friend Thomas. He said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? That's a good question. What does Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Before you make your conclusion on this, this has nothing to do with end time stuff. This has something to do with everyday life. How many of you would agree with me? Everyday life. Jesus is walking with us. He gives the Holy Spirit to everyone who accepts him. And he said, I am the way. So apart from him, we know we can do nothing. But we still carve out our own way, don't we? Carving out your own way is a troubled heart. That's the result. If you go his way, we have a peaceful heart. The question is, what do we want? We make a choice. Jesus said, I am the way. And since he is the way, he's also the truth. He's the truth. And he is the very life which you and I also desperately need. So let me do a little, like I said, neurological masterclass. Are you guys ready? Are you sure? Okay. Because I'm going to give you a brainstorm on your own brain if it's functioning. If it's functioning like Samantha's does, you're in trouble. But if it's functioning according to the Word of God, yeah, fine. I have mentioned that person's name before, Ian McGilchrist, who wrote some phenomenal books. If you are interested, you can probably, I'm tempted to put it into the, how many of you would read it if you find it in the library? In a library, okay. So there are 600 pages per book plus, but only 400 you have to read. The other 200 are all academic connections to prove that this is right. So I quote him, and I want you to listen carefully. I make some stops along the way and insert my little thoughts. So, The Master and the Emissary is the title of that book. Subtitled, The Divided Brain and the Making of the Western World. Let me stop there for a second. This book is dealing that the Western world has accepted a certain way of brain functions, a certain way of thinking, which has shaped the entire world on the Western Hemisphere, where we are today. Don't blame the devil for it. We have shaped that world, the way we were thinking. Something went wrong, and I don't give you all the details because we would be a long time here. But he asked this question, why is the brain divided? That's a good question, isn't it? Despite much research and speculation, neurologists have struggled to make sense of hemispheres' differences, the differences in two hemispheres, or of their impact on human thought and experience. Listen carefully. Thought and experience. These are two entirely different things. Thought is the way you think, and the way you think, you will experience certain things. So the brain is divided into two spheres, hemispheres, two sections. One of them primarily does the thinking, the other primarily moves us to experience it. In order to have a balanced life, both need to work. They need to work together. So Ian Gilchrist argues that the two hemispheres in the brain have not merely different skills, but wholly different perspectives on the world. They look at the world entirely different, one versus the other. He suggests that the left hemisphere is designed, listen, to exploit the world effectively, but it's narrow in focus and prizes theory over experience. Left hemisphere. Now, don't go political on me here, okay? This is brain. I'm not saying that they have a brain, but this is brain. Very narrow focused. And it prizes theory over experience. In other words, what our left hemisphere of the brain says, who cares about if they're experiencing it, as long as they have the thought. In other words, that will be a section of the hemisphere of your brain where Satan works overtime. Keep it all in theory. They have no idea what the experience will be. Hiding it. It prefers mechanism to living things. Ignores whatever is not explicit, lack empathy, and is unreasonably certain of itself. Or maybe in some simple words, pretty biased and stubborn. You left hemisphere in the brain goes something like this. If you go and share with somebody about the truth, the way, the life, and the truth, and something like this comes out of the mouth. I don't care about what you say. I was born, and then they put the label, and I will die. In the religious jargon, I grew up as a Catholic. I was born a Catholic. I'm always a Catholic. I don't care what you say. That will be only the left hemisphere of your brain activated. And you will probably die, just like you said, you know, in that thinking. Have you ever met somebody you tried to convince otherwise of anything? So many things went to my head. My brain goes normally overdrive when I study these things. I try to. How many of you like to categorize things? And sometimes you even put names or faces to it. Have you ever done that? You will never do that? I go to my whole congregation, I go, well, we can divide them. These guys have only left brain function. These guys have only right brain function. How in the world can we combine them that they function properly, correct? It's kind of, I tried yearly to make this happen. You say, well, that definitely not applies to me. Well, then you're a left thinker. Just the way you said it, correct? I got it all under my belt. I got it. I don't think so. It's not going to work that way. So this will be the left hemisphere of your brain. You say, why in the world did God make it to begin with? This is difficult. Well, he lets us make decisions. See? By contrast, the right hemisphere has a much broader, more generous understanding of the world. How many of you like said, that's me? That's me. I got it. But lack the certainty to counter this onslaught because what it knows is more subtle or many-faceted. So if you are a right hemisphere thinking person, and that's all you do, okay? You will be a person, as he says, you have a certainty. You know what is right. You're very generous. How many of you are very generous? Oh, man. Kirby, we need to make improvements. It's a better giving record. You know, generous people. We have to be generous people. So you would be a right brain person. Very generous in all the things. And you know. How many of you have ever that feeling? I know that I know something is wrong. That would be a right brain activity. But you can't put your finger on it. You just know it. That's your right brain activated. How many of you know this is very dangerous when we just go by what we intuitively believe, have no reasonable evidence of what I believe, but I just know. How many of you like to say, you need a partner to balance it out? That would be the left hemisphere of your brain. Comes in and says, well, I know exactly what it, by the way, what you think is totally wrong. And you go, oh no, I'm always right, correct? So your left brain hemisphere has just become the master. And your right brain hemisphere has become the emissary. That's why the title of the book. An emissary is somebody sent out to negotiate on behalf of somebody, correct? That's an emissary. Like if you would be the president of the United States, you send an emissary, it's called an ambassador. Negotiate with another country. So we obviously know who our big ambassador is. But this is how this brain works. So it goes on to say, it is vital that the two hemispheres work together. But listen to this, but in Western culture, there is evidence of a power struggle with the left hemisphere increasingly dominant. Taken over. The neurologists went all the way back in the history and found that the master of the left brain hemisphere has taken over around 1910 in the Western world. Our whole thinking, how the world functions, has changed at that time. Just before the First World War, which is a result of certain way of thinking. He goes to say the result is a dehumanized society. Listen carefully. The human being has no value. When the left domineers, I'm not talking political, I want to make sure. We all have, hopefully, both sides of the brain functioning somehow. So when the left hemisphere is in charge, you are just a number. You're not a human being with dignity made in God's image. Changed about 1910 in the Western world. Don't you think That's the reason why we are here. Everything is digitalized with numbers. You only have a number in the government thing. You only have a number. Well, they treat you like a number. See? That's the problem. If you have only that brain section working, you dehumanize the whole society. And he goes on to say, where the rigid and bureaucratic mentality, obsessed with structure and mechanism, holds sway at huge cost to human happiness and the world around us. We have gotten all the things in the Western world which no other country has when it comes to luxury. We have it. But that is because everything is controlled. In order for you, not to become a person who wants to go and have a revolution started, they need to give you goodies so that the left hemisphere of the brain can control the right. So we're quiet, be happy, keep them happy. But it's so structured, and the mechanism is in place, that the true happiness cannot be found. We're never totally happy. There's always something better to be pursued. Well, let me put it into practice. It's so important. Whenever something does not go our way, what do we do? What do you think? What? You know, this is true, Bob. You should maybe present a sermon on that topic. Because he obviously experienced it, that's why he can talk. See, the problem is not always Satan whispering in our ear. Run from that. Do this. Go somewhere else. Somewhere it's better. You leave this wicked husband behind. Get a new one. It's much better. Move to another city. It's better there. Opportunities are better. Move to another church. It's louder, crowder, and happiness is being projected. All these things. They all go to your head. That's the result of the master. The left brain hemisphere controls the right. It's totally lopsided. It will never function. If these two would work together, listen to me carefully, there would be no divorce. There would be certainly no abortion. God designed us, as the Bible says, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. These are discoveries made by neurologists. They go, whoa, that explains so much where our society is and how our society reacts. And the whole Western world is in the grip of dysfunctioning communication between the left and the right hemisphere. Now, if there would be a pill that could fix that problem, I would be a billionaire overnight, wouldn't it? Would be phenomenal. But it's not going that way because God has designed it for a different purpose. Because he has destined that we utilize everything he has made us for, that we make solid decision. He's given us the free will to do so. He didn't make us, robots. He made us human beings. We humans are destined to make good decision and bad decisions. And bad decisions gives us a troubled heart. I mean, normally troubled heart is not acknowledged. In America, we like to believe that we are the exception. What I just explained is only for other people, correct? In America, we got that under control. No, we don't. We don't. Jesus in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, says it this way. Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed has come, when he will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you. Listen, the purpose, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have what? Two hemispheres of your brain that don't work together. That's what you have. You will have tribulation. But take what? Heart. You see that? The heart. The trouble is in the heart. I have overcome the world. And the church throughout the ages, there was always a remnant who was teaching that truth over and over and over. Because they knew troubled hearts in the churches are trouble in the churches. People are never faithful. They never look out for the brother or sister. They look out for themselves. How many of you make decisions you never consider the impact on the church you're part of? Come on. 99% of the people do that, you know? In the old days, when you were in a church, sure, it was more localized because the community was in there. You did not leave the community if it impacted the community the wrong way. Today, nobody cares. We're going all over the world. The first thing when we came to the United States of America, my wife and I, we quickly picked up. We talked with families in the church. They have the kids all over the United States, all over. And we go, why are they not together in Switzerland? Within 20 minutes, 30 minutes distance. Everybody, her family lives, my family lives like this. I was the only crazy guy who had the split brain not functioning. So I left, you know. It's amazing. See, it rips everything apart. So we only go when God tells us to go. That's a challenge for the rest of your life. So I feel like I'm out of here. Have you asked God? Have you asked how it impacts your friends, which you call friends in the church? Have you found out how does it impact my family? The job is never number one, by the way. I tell you that, my friend. Your job is never number one. You never move away from a local body because of a job. Never. If I would go for a job, you would have no pastor right now. There are a lot of good opportunities. Better pay, less trouble, so I think. I know better. Troubles are everywhere, correct? But I never would move here, from here, because that's where God placed me. On the impact, I tell my wife many times, we have every morning our devotion, I said, what would the church look like? What will people think about how God works if I would do an immoral thing? And it's all over the place. Your faith starts wobbling. If he can't do it, who preached the word? How does he expect me to do it? Your responsibility, my responsibility is that these two hemispheres working together so you can have a balanced, peaceful life. And it's challenging all of us. I tell you, my friend, this, when I prepared this, it came back to me over and over and over. It's one of the sermons I probably mold the most over. And the reason is pretty simple. The incredible impact it will have for the very near future in you and my life. I know what's coming, and you can feel what's coming. And if you are not communicating between your left and your right hemisphere, you're going to be in big trouble. In big trouble. It's got to have to be biblically, the way God designed these things to work. Every man and every woman on its own cannot make it. We need one another. Running away will not do it. We are not good in making things better when we have that kind of attitude. Look at the home. Your home. Look at the school. Look at the public arena. When we make decisions, we don't consider anything. It's just me. What feels good. Troubled hearts always tend toward paralysis and polarization. Always. And there are neurological reasons, brain reasons. I'm going to give you 5 points, maybe four. Are you ready? So, first, I wrote it up for you. It will help you. A brain that is negative neutral or stressed is about 30% less efficient than a joyful or peaceful brain. Not my words. Neurologists figured it out. They analyzed the people. How many of you love to be surrounded by negative people? Anyone takes? Well, maybe you have to sometimes extract yourselves from the relationship. Listen, negative thinking people, 30% less efficiency. That's a lot. That's every third word you speak is stupid. That's my interpretation. For those who are mathematically challenged. You say, man, there are days where I qualify. Second, when troubled and unsure, how to get out of the trouble? The brain's relationship circuits begin to shut down. Listen, when troubled or unsure, when you have a troubled heart, your brain circuits start firing the wrong way or don't fire at all. I'm a firm believer because of this discovery, and I've studied that now for years, reading these books. We have so many people with mental health issues. Brains don't function right. These neurons don't cooperate. They don't fire. On the left and right brain hemisphere, don't communicate. And we want to try to solve it with medication. It's not going to work. It's a heart issue. These networks of neurons are the whole brain structure that allows us to accurately read the minds, especially our own, which we don't want to read. Could you imagine if you would have a screen in your home that shows exactly everything you think that is wrong? These two don't cooperate. Would you turn it off? Sure you would. Who wants to see that? We don't want to see it. But the Holy Spirit knows all these things. See? He doesn't need a screen. Let me give you a third point. When our relational circuits start shutting down, and they will, as things get more distressing and we feel more alone, we start to lose the executive function of our frontal lobes. The frontal lobes are right here. They're part embedded into those two hemispheres. Okay? When this happens, the so-called reptilian brain starts to call the shots. And we are left with the options, fight, flight, or freeze. These are the only three options. I have seen so many people over the years. They do one of these three. I go to church, but I do nothing anymore. I'm not involved. I had it. Some of them start first fights, correct? Have you ever been in a church where fights taking place? Welcome to victory. Over what? Over what do you fight? I heard stories that they fight over carpet colors. I don't know if it's true, but, you know. Here there may be fight over, oh, Johnny plays way too hard drums. He's way too loud. Come on. Bam, bam, bam. I said, Johnny, would you be a little bit more gentle? Brrr, he goes. You know, because then he shuts one of his hemisphere off. And he only drums on one side. The people flee. Well, I'm not going to go back. Bah, 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 bah. Listen, get your brain back in activity before you make a decision. It's not a big deal. You know, sometimes we freeze. You know, we just don't want to be involved in any. I go to church, I want to talk to nobody. I come 5 minutes late, and 5 minutes before the sermon is over, I'm out of here. Have you ever met people like that? They don't want to be involved. They're frozen. Okay? They don't want to get engaged. They don't want to have both brains working. So if I see you next week and I say, you know, on Sunday, oh, you got the left brain hemisphere working today, I can tell. They go, what did Pastor say again? What does that mean? Is that good or bad? If I only mention one, it's bad. They should work together. Okay. So we have that. Every time we want to flee from something, ask yourselves a simple question. What in the world bothers me? And why? And then we go, I'm right and they're wrong. Good, wonderful. You are definitely a left brainer. And you shut the other side off. The right is here, emissary. Are you sitting down with brothers and sisters and reasoning this out? And when you have a good brother who thinks a little bit differently than you and points it out to you, are you going to get mad and say, nobody has to tell me what to do? You have just confirmed that only the left hemisphere is in active mode. The rest is all shut down. This is why we have in politics these divisions, too. You can't talk to people who have a certain idea. They don't reason. We lost them. That's why McGilchrist says, our society functions the way it does because of these kind of things. Huge impact. What about the fourth thing? For humans, confirmation bias. The tendency to believe anything that supports what we already believe and disbelieve anything to the contrary. Ever met people like that? Oh, I could. I was tempted to put you a few bullet points up there. Hot button issues in the church. Really? How many have ever heard the debate between halfway free, fully free, you know, or maybe a more accurate one that is really a hot button issue right now? Are you premill, mid-trib, or whatever? The ministers out there, they say, if you don't believe in the tribulation, you're not born again. You're talking about a reptilian brain? You're talking about something not functioning? You got that right. I can give you some other things where scholars say, can it get any dumber? You know, where we're fighting over things in the church that is only working on one cylinder, not on both cylinders, so to speak. And we split churches apart over this. What if it comes out later that you were totally wrong? Have you ever had that? You were firmly believing something. You were telling everybody who doesn't believe like you that they have no clue. And then all of a sudden, you recognize your position for all these years was absolutely inaccurate. Ever had that? If you have never had it, you don't live. You must be brain-bred or brain dead. You got it, correct? Good. Our brains would rather not have their existing neural network challenged. And do you know what the Bible says? It needs to be challenged. It needs to be challenged. In a troubled brain state, this bias increases. People put their foot in the ground. I can't tell you how many videos people forwarded to me, clips of brain dead people selling their garbage. It is unbelievable. So I give you the final thing. As a protective measure, when relational circuits are down, we tend to imagine the worst outcomes and cannot be persuaded otherwise. Ever met people like that? No, the world is going to come to an end. It's going to collapse in the next 2 years. I know it. And when you share with them that God has never given us a date, that the world is not going to be wiped out, the world is going to be judged and redone by the Lord. It's a biblical text. You can't go anywhere with them. They don't believe it. They will not change. Next time you have a person like this, you say, Some of the circuits are not firing. That's all I have to say. It's a very nice reminder. Just what does that mean? You go figure it out. You want to be in a loving partner, encourage him, you know? It's not that bad. Which circuits did you turn off? How many of you know? If you go into your main electric box and you shift the breaker from one side to the other, what happens? There's no current going through it, correct? And you're going to find out quickly in the house which one you turned off. Wouldn't that be easy for us if we do that with the brain? We know exactly which breaker broke. Nothing going. Would be wonderful. You know what I would do? I would get access to your big breaker box and flip it back on. So we have only happy people, correct? But that's not the way that works. As a matter of fact, I have firmly come to believe that some people love to be miserable. They just love to be miserable. They love not to have all the brain functions going, correct? Why should they? So, troubled hearts are common. Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. But what are we going to do when we have? So, and I have a quote from you from 1828, from a German philosopher. Johann Gottfried Herder is his name. You probably have never heard of him. He says, anyone who wants to be all head is as much a monster as one who wants to be all heart. Left brain hemisphere, right brain hemisphere have to work together. So, you say, well, what about, you know, in this world, what we watch today? I'll give you a little clip in a few minutes. But let me remind you. Ian McGilchrist wrote three incredible volumes. This volume one and two, titled, The Matter with Things. Subtitled, Our Brains, Our Delusions, and the Unmaking of the World. What a good subtitle. He goes, the right hemisphere's mode of attention, capacity for pragmatic understanding and communication, superior perceptual integration, and ability to shift belief appropriately in the light of new evidence, all make possible by the right hemisphere dominated grip on reality, a grip that becomes increasingly tenuous the more impaired these functions become. So, the right hemisphere sounds to be the right place to be, correct? But it's not all. Who wants to be pragmatic, understands all the things, has superior perception, integration, and when a shift in new discoveries comes, you want to look at the new evidence and be able to open yourselves up. Because you cannot bring anybody to the Lord Jesus Christ by a hammer. You got to be able to sit down and talk with the people. And for that, you have to be open and listen. And he said, all make possible by the right hemisphere-dominated grip on reality. That's something which we cannot lose. Okay? When he says the tenuous becomes increasingly tenuous, tenuous is the idea or the situation kind of goes into the background. And it's almost like non-existent anymore when we let go of this. So. But he goes on to say, what we have not yet talked about, however, is the intuitive sense of reality itself, on the impact of emotional awareness, on the capacity to understand what is happening in the world. Listen, if not both are working together, we can't understand the world we're living in. Why are we here where we are? Do you like where we are right now? Do you like what the world is doing right now? You know what? In Iowa, we're sheltered. Way too much sheltered. This almost turns like Goshen, the Garden of Eden. We're so sheltered. You live in a big city? My wife and I listened to a documentary the other day from Germany. because nothing comes over here from Europe. And the documentary went to 10 cities, powerhouses in the GDP of Germany. For those of you who don't know, Germany is the power economy for many, many years. It's in shambles. They go to there, all in, let's say, the main part of the city is empty. The stores have closed, people have no job, they don't know what to do. They live like in the 50s, right now, in Germany. Europe is done. Europe was the leader to separate the left from the right hemisphere, called the Enlightenment. And they're now reaping the results. But America has rapidly caught up in that whole thing. Let me give you a real modern, real-time example of truth. Before I let you run, we're going to look at a little video clip. And I had to make sure that everything we show you, children can actually watch. It's in the church, correct? So, how many of you would have to say, decades of economic decline have brought even our country almost to the breaking point? How many of you know that? That's nothing new. The vast majority of the population is not just here, but in the Western world I'm talking about, barely scraping month by month. Thousands of stores, restaurants, everything is closing. There's a new crisis in the Strait of Hormuz. For those of you who are still believing this is not going to come to hunt us, listen, in the economy, it takes 4 to 6 weeks when something happens before it goes to you in the store with the prices. Just so you know. 4 to 6 weeks. And then we kind of see it coming. You say, oh, gas prices have already gone up. That has nothing to do with the Strait of Hormuz. It has something to do with greedy people who want to make money right now, knowing that you know that there's a problem there. But that's how human beings work. Some of them just have one hemisphere working, remember? So I show you a clip. A reality star turned Los Angeles mayoral candidate, Spencer Pratt, shared a devastating must-see campaign advertising on X. Somebody sent it to me. And he's showing the dire situation as it is in Los Angeles. He calls it City of Fallen Angels. Part one, I don't know what the part two is. It's just a rapid montage. He didn't put it together. Somebody just took raw footage of news clips. Let's turn the lights down. Let's quickly watch. Just watch very careful. It's going fast.
Los Angeles losing tens of thousands of residents, one of the biggest population drops in the nation.
Everyday life is just becoming unsafe.
One of the most dangerous streets in all of Los Angeles. And now,
a man killed near the LA Convention Center. Billions in homeless funds were poorly tracked.
It's far more sexy to talk about all these billions of dollars that are missing and blah, blah, blah.
And it's impacting businesses.
Thinking about selling or closing my business.
Lost my job, lost my business.
Are struggling to stay open because of all the devastation.
Business as usual is a death sentence for Los Angeles.
They have lost 50% of their business.
A whole lot of stores are being closing down here locally.
Unfortunately, business has been fairly slow.
It's crazy.
Dozens of restaurants across LA closing shop this year.
You never know what's going to happen to you.
The system in Los Angeles isn't struggling. It's fundamentally broken.
The city failed everyone. The insurance companies failed everyone.
Mothers that want to go to the park, that don't want to inhale fentanyl smoke from the 70,000 drug addicts that the mayor currently lets live on our streets.
Drugs and prostitutes while walking their kids to class.
Angelenos are done.
And it's a humanitarian disaster.
We have 6 people dying every day in the streets. Over 100 restaurants just in LA have closed in the last year. Everyone is done.
More and more restaurants across the city, new and old, are going out of business.
They did everything possible to keep their doors open.
Several businesses along the famed Sunset Strip have closed in recent months.
After 16 years of business,
restaurants really are struggling, closing on
March 31st. They shut down earlier this month, closing after 3 years of business, shut their doors permanently by the end of the month.
We, the business owners, are being hit so hard.
They say they have absolutely no idea what their future holds.
Laying off employees and closing stores.
We're not backfilling positions. We're not growing in the state anymore.
Worst case scenario, you just said that you may have to shut down.
Stepping on fentanyl needles, human poop, everything smells like pee. It is disgusting.
The number of people who die every day on our streets gets worse.
All over LA, there's people with just fentanyl smoke blowing next to swing sets in every park. This is psycho.
Dogs that are neglected, abused, and sometimes set on fire.
Fighting to survive after being set on fire in South Los Angeles.
A one-year-old shepherd mix set on fire.
Madam Mayor, have you absolutely nothing to say to the citizens today who are dealing with this disaster? No apology for them?
If you're not shocked by what you see, then I don't know what you would be shocked by.
Just giving you needles and pipes on the street and dropping off a sandwich is not helping these people.
It's far more sexy to talk about all these billions of dollars that are missing and blah, blah, blah.
Would you like to live in a city like this? If you take that into perspective, that would be every person in Ames and surrounding area living like this. Everyone. And every day we pick up 5 to 10 dead people. That's what you get when your brain doesn't function. That's what you get when the left brain hemisphere is domineering our leaders, and they are not willing to negotiate or talk even about this. Other mayor, LA, spent $22 billion for just giving people more of the disastrous things they do. This is reality, my friend. We have to deal with that. You say, well, we're living in Iowa. Iowa will not be spared. We have already homeless people, plenty of them in Ames. We have even more in Des Moines. You go to Iowa City, you can go anywhere today in the United States. You find these people. Okay? And the church has never heard it from the pulpit what a tragedy is going on in the United States of America. We don't want to talk about it. You know what? I want to go to church to hear good news. Sorry, I'm not going to engage only one of your hemisphere. Okay? Let's get both going. Let's work through these things. I had this week 2 people walking up to my house, uninvited. One of them a politician. I said, why do you are here? He said, well, then he mentioned 2 names of 2 families I know well. They told you that I should go and talk to you to get a handle on these things. So I set him down. I was on the porch, front porch, with him talking almost an hour. I didn't have the time, but I thought he needs to know. So I said, what do you know about economics? Oh, I know this and that. What do you want to implement when you get to the house? I said to him, it's not going to work, man. I would have loved to tell him I'm just studying your left brain and your right brain, but probably would not have gone over, you know. And then he goes, well, I disagree with you on taxes. I said, do you know why? You think like a politician. That's why. We need some people that don't think like politicians. They actually have a good grip on economic problems, because that's what we are having right now. We have economic problems. And this is the end result when people have nothing to lose and just want to bail out. This is what you get. And the church, who should be the light into these dark places, is nowhere to be found. They don't talk about it. And I tell you, it's a neurological problem. Sure, there's a spiritual element behind it, but we cannot just stand in the church and say, well, we're just going to cast out the devil, and then things working out. No, that's not the way that works. These are decisions people make every day. And if you and I don't learn to stand firm in what we know the Bible is teaching us, then we stay put, learn to hang in there, take the beating if it's so to be, that's fine. Stand for truth, even if it costs you something. Don't flee, don't fight, don't freeze. This is a sign of your brain not functioning right. This is a time to stand up. And I told my wife, when these things really going to get bad, a lot of people are going to call me. Because over the years, I talked with them. Now they're in positions where they have something to say. Now they don't know what to do. And from now on, you just tell me, just heard a sermon about the two hemispheres of your brain, and they don't function. Then they say, what does that mean? Exactly what I mean, dysfunctional. We need to tackle these things. We need to learn that right in the church family. Are we in this together, or do we want to go solo? Good luck. It's not going to work. You say, well, you just want to frighten me? No, I'm not afraid to tell you the reality, the truth. Fiscally, in the United States, we are as broke as anybody else. We're heading towards a systematic crisis, financial crisis, which the government has no control over it. None whatsoever. So you say, well, is that the end of it all? No, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Why? God told us that troubled hearts always tend towards paralysis. I live in Iowa. I look every day from my music room into the meadow to the east every morning and thank the Lord. I said, thank you, Lord. I can handle 3 cars going by. I can handle that. That's okay. When we came here 26 years ago, 3 cars behind each other, that was a traffic jam compared to California where we came from. But you know what? We have to get up every morning and learn to be thankful. Thankful. And then learn to process things with the brain. Before you make any decision, listen, please, please talk with somebody who can be a good counselor to you. Not somebody who is agreeing with you. The best counselors are those who do not agree with you. And say, no, you look at it the wrong way. You need to look at it from the other side. And then you go, well, that's not a friend anymore. He's not agreeing with me. No, that was your best counsel that God sent. And said, there are things which you need to look at before you make a decision. This is not about you anymore. This is not about single-handedly making a decision. Every decision you and I make will impact somebody else. And you have to be aware of that. So you're probably going to hear from me quite often, I don't think both spheres are working. And you know exactly what I mean. You need to sit together with a friend, with a brother or sister, and personally talk these things out. I have an idea, I would like to do this, I'd like to do that. Listen, don't go back into the world. The world will destroy you. Stay in the Lord's kingdom. Stay there. Don't you dare turn the back on him. We are heading into a huge falling away from truth. Not falling away from church attendance. That is already a disaster. Europe has not even 2% of the population in the churches. Now they're mourning and groaning because 238, I believe, is the last thing of all the churches they burned down in Germany and in France. You know, they're burning all these churches down. And they're going, why do you cry? You're never there anyway. May as well have a new development going. You have abandoned it. God is not protecting what you abandoned. So we need to get back. The only way to get back is through repentance. Next Sunday, we have the big rededication of America to the Lord. And I'm going to teach to you, we're taking it the wrong way. Listen to me. We take it the wrong way. We think that a dedication will solve all the problems. Listen, we will have solved not a single problem. We need to engage our politicians in discussions. We need not bang, 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 not yelling at him, saying, can we have a discussion? You know, we watch all these things where mothers go to the school boards and they just throw them out or arrest them. That should never have been allowed. Never. The parents have a right to talk. Okay? So the church should stand up and say, this is not right. It's evil. It's evil. Call it evil. We see tragedy after tragedy. And we can't let it go just like this. We have to stand up and say something. This is why I love Proverbs. This is why we're going to study two Proverbs. Because you remember when we started the first Sunday? Want to go with me to chapter 1? Why do we have these Proverbs given to us? To know wisdom and instruction. How many of you know you don't sip it into existence? Wisdom and instruction. You know what instructions entails? To be instructed. To learn. To understand words of insight. Words of insight cannot be understood without... How many of you have ever heard of the two hemispheres of the brain before? You just got instructed. If your husband is going to come up with a crazy idea, tell him. One of the spheres is not working. Just tell him, it's not working. When the husband gets mad, you say, just activate the other one. We're going to be okay. But please do it. And I think God has assigned me as your wife to be the other half, putting it in there. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, yeah, it's good to talk. It's good. Look, to receive instruction in wise dealings, in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Yes, the youth need to be in the church. They need to be in the sanctuary. They need prudence, knowledge, and direction. Some of you may be 30 and still like acting like youth, but we help you grow. Let the wise hear and increase in learning. Listen, no matter how much we know, how many of you know, we still have a lot to learn. A lot to learn. We, as disciples of Christ, disciple means a disciplined learner. That's what that means. We learn constantly. And as the world goes, we have to learn. Don't ignore the realities, what's going on in the world. Learn about it. And the one who understands, obtain guidance. To understand the proverb and the saying and the words of the wise and the riddles. Well, that's a challenge. But we start all at the same place. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, let me give that to you. You can now say and summarize, Lord, it really doesn't matter what he said. It just went over my head. I just forget about it. Shall I tell you what the Bible says about you? Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Don't be a fool. Take the instructions. We need it. We need it badly. All of us do. Proverbs 18:15, we can end up with this. An intelligent heart acquires knowledge. You see, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge. And the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. Knowledge about truth. How the Lord guides. I can wrap it up with this, my friends. No matter what kind of troubled heart you may have experienced in the past, and there are plenty of it, you don't need to stay there. You know, you can go and make decisions that lead you in a different direction. Okay? And that's where we want to go together. That's my challenge for you this morning. So as we pray, make sure that both hemispheres are working. Let's go and pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for everything you do. Thank you for challenging us. We never knew how complicated a creation you have made when you created human beings. There's so much to learn. You have given us all the capacities to help us to understand. And as long as we're down here on this earth, still life in us, Lord, we want to learn more and more about you. We want to not ignore what's going on around us. We want to be able to communicate with people who are totally on a different plane of understanding what's going on in the world. Or maybe our relatives have simply ignored all the things that are going on in the world. But we are not ignorant of these things. You even said that we should never be ignorant of the schemes of the devil. That's in the spiritual realm, Lord. We just ask you to open our eyes and then give us a firm stand that we will not back down when we see what's going on. Willing to share, fully engaged, Lord, and to show people we love there's more to be had. And once we can bring them to a place where they can listen, we can show that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life that can give us a peaceful heart. Help us, Lord, that we can proclaim this and live it all for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people can say, amen. Let's stand to our feet.